it hosts them.
You're absolutely right.
All right, Mark, whenever you're ready.
Okay, good evening, everyone. I am calling to order the Beacon Hill Architectural Commission public hearing at 5:03 p.m. on November 17th, 2022. This is the November 2022 hearing of the Beacon Hill Architectural Commission. I am the chair, Mark Kiefer, and commissioners present are Vice Chair Erin Allen, Ed Fleck, Annette Given, and Alice Richmond. Today, the commission will be holding a public hearing to review applications in accordance with the Commonwealth of Massachusetts executive order suspending certain provisions of the open meeting law, including the July 16th, 2020 amendment, extending the suspension of these provisions until March 31st, 2023. We are conducting this meeting online, AKA over Zoom, to ensure public access to the deliberations of the Beacon Hill, the Beacon Hill Architectural Commission. The public may access this call through telephone and video conferencing, again, AKA Zoom. The hearing is being recorded. All further conversation between commissioners should be audible to the public in attendance until the hearing is adjourned. And at this point, we'd like to recognize any media or elected officials currently present. If you are a media or elected officials, could you please make your presence known so we can acknowledge you?
Hi, Dan Murphy from the Beacon Hill Times here.
Thanks, Dan.
Hi, Dan. Welcome. Anyone else?
That's it.
Okay. Members of the public will have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions, and we'll do that in turn as we adjudicate each of the applications. So when we are ready to take public comment, we will let you know. And what we'll ask you to do is just make yourself known by raising your hand, not literally like this, but in the Zoom application, there's a little button at the bottom of your Zoom panel. And Nick has some instructions, some handy instructions on the screen right now. So you can see how to do that right there. Click on the participants at the bottom, then choose the raise hand option or press star 9 if you're on your phone. Make sure you unmute yourself so we can hear you. And Nick will just make yourself known and in the chat in that fashion, and Nick will acknowledge you and call on you, and you can make a public comment on the record. And if you want to make a public comment on the record, you got to do it that way. Don't have to turn your camera on, but you do need to do it audibly. If you just put it in the chat, that will count for that purpose. However, if you have any technical issues, can't seem to be getting the thing working or something, you can just message Nick in the chat and he will help you out as well, because he is running this thing behind the scenes for us today, the Zoom meeting. Let's see. And we'll repeat these instructions as to how to do that during the meeting if you need it. So with that, I think that's it, right? Let's go to the first item on the agenda in the design review hearing is 94 Beacon Street. Is there an applicant here from 94 Beacon, please?
Jason Brickman, are you here?
Anyone here from 94 Beacon? This might even be an even shorter meeting.
Yeah, I mean, I've sent him three reminder emails, so I'm not sure what's going on here. Maybe he just likes waiting. So, all right.
All right, why don't we move on? Well, if Jason shows up, we can take that application when he's next available. But let's move on to 145 Pinckney. Anyone here from 145 Pinckney?
Sorry, Mark, real quick. If anyone can't unmute themselves, email me or text me in the chat and we'll get you taken care of. But yeah, all right. Sorry, Mark, go ahead.
No. 145 Pinckney Street. Is anyone here from 145 Pinckney?
Yes, George. Good evening, everybody. George Senate Eagle Restoration. Everybody hear me okay?
Yes.
We can hear you.
Thank you. Do you want to go ahead and tell us what you want to do?
Okay, so when we last visited, we talked about a pre-engineered railing system that didn't fit quite nicely around the building the way you people would like to see it and the way the owners would like to see it as their space is deeded on the balcony. So what we did is we went ahead and we fabricated a mock-up that mimics the existing railing system, but also brings it up to code as spacing and height goes. So what you're going to see in the third slide is that mock-up. And that's it in progress. You can see the short railing on the right and the modified railing being installed. And then in the next screen, you'll see what the finished mock-up looks like. Sorry for the blurriness. But that's as best as we can do to mimic the existing construction, maintain the look of the building, the color scheme, give the owners what they want as deeded space goes on the balcony. It allows us to use the existing mounting system. While problematic as waterproofing goes, it was the lesser of the evils to get the look we wanted and the space we needed. So that's our new and improved mock-up, our new and improved railing for consideration.
Okay, one just quick question, George. I think I read in Nick's helpful comments about this. Another feature of this revised design, just to elaborate a little bit more on the reusing the existing mounting system, so the railing will be fastened ostensibly in the same points as the existing railing.
And yes, and if Nick, you don't mind going down to slide 10, I believe, you'll get a sense of that with the photograph on slide 10. There you go.
Oh, this one
back here. One.
Here?
There you go. So now you can see what the mount looks like. What's there now, that's existing, but that's welded because it's steel. Because we're going back with aluminum, we're going to use all three mounting ports you see there to fasten the railing system to the existing mount.
Okay. And in terms of where the railing will actually sit, is it in ostensibly the same plane as the existing railing?
Exactly the same plane, because right. We're using the same mounts.
Right. Okay. And just for clarification, when you refer to the new railing as code compliant, am I correct in understanding that because this is not a single family or two family dwelling or a townhouse that is three stories or less, that you're required to do it at 42 inches rather than 36?
We are at 42 inches.
Right. But even this, because the as I would understand it, the outdoor spaces on these balconies are separated with barriers and so forth. But is the 42 inch requirement owing to the fact that it's basically a multifamily building?
It is definitely a multifamily building. Yeah. And we had this discussion with Dave Johnson, the chief building inspector, up on the roof. We have a comparable railing system. We had it at 41 inches in a few locations, and he made us modify it to 42. 42 is what he wants to see.
Okay. And then finally, the finish. Forgive me if I just didn't, if I missed this or just misunderstood something, but it's a powder coat.
It is. It's a 20-year powder coated system that'll be custom blended to match the existing color.
So that's in lieu of paint, basically.
Correct.
Yeah. But you'll match the color that's there now, ostensibly?
Absolutely.
Right.
We're trying to get away from maintenance here, which is why we've switched to aluminum powder coating.
Right. Okay. And in theory, that should be quite durable, right? Because of the way it's applied?
Almost certainly.
Yeah. Okay. Any questions from the commissioners, other commissioners, before we take public comment on this?
You actually covered my question, so I'm pretty pleased. Very good.
Anyone else? Any other commissioners?
None from me.
Okay. Thank you. Let's go to public comment then. Again, if you want to be heard on the record on this, just raise your hand in the Zoom using that button down at the bottom, according to the handy instructions on the screen here. And again, if you're having trouble unmuting, just message Nick in the chat and he will fix that for you. Anyone want to be heard?
Great. So first up we have is Holland with the Civic Association. Holland, go ahead.
Thank you. Our comment is we support this application due to the necessary safety code and structural concerns. For this application, we reference the following district guidelines, A2. Per general, in the event that replacement of existing materials or features is necessary, the new materials shall match the materials being replaced in composition, design, color, texture, and other visible qualities. End of comment.
Thank you, Holland. All right. I do not see any other public comments for this application, so we can close the public comment section.
Okay. Great. And then just one more question, George, and forgive me, this is pretty obvious from your drawings, but just to be absolutely clear here, it's every railing on every balcony, right? So when you're done, they're all going to be the same height.
Absolutely.
Right. Okay. Any other comments, questions, thoughts, or concerns from the commission? Would anyone like to make a motion?
Make a motion to approve the application.
Okay. Do I hear a second?
I second Mark's motion.
Okay. Okay. Any further discussion on the motion? We will vote. Commissioner Allen.
Aye.
Mr. Fleck.
Aye.
Commissioner Given.
Aye.
Mr. Kiefer votes aye. Commissioner Richmond.
Aye.
Thank you very much. Motion carries and the application is approved. Thanks, George. You get a letter from Nick with all the information. And if you have any questions, just follow up directly with him.
Wonderful. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
All right, Mark. So it looks like Jason is here for 94. Yep.
Okay. So let's go to 94 Beacon. Jason, you're up.
Hi. Thank you for allowing me to have this time with you guys. I wanted to, I missed the last meeting, I apologize, but the goal for the unit in the building, we were looking to do two things. One was to put a granite header over the garage door. It's a single garage door behind the building. It's the only garage door on the building. And across the street on Beaver Street, there's two garage doors, one directly across the street, one diagonally across the street that are the same size. So the thought was to use the same type of granite that they use there. It's 14 inches tall, it's 6 inches thick, and it's 108 inches. 10 foot 8 inches long to cover the span of the door. We came to the commission 6 months ago or so to have the commission approve to widen the garage door, which we did, and then the brick that was, we were trying to repurpose the brick that was there. It was in great shape, and rather than try to put a brick that is not going to look the same or be identical, we thought dressing it up like they did across the street with a nice piece of granite. That was the thought for the header, and the other thing before the commission is the light. We show a gas lantern, a Bavola lantern, which is similar to the other one I saw up the street on Mount Vernon, same company, handmade copper light. The design is, I think, in the packet for that light, and it's 21 inches tall. The designer sized it according to the which she thought was appropriate for the scale of the scale of the light, appropriate with the size of the door. And that's it. Those are the two things that we have submitted. Both of those things can be seen from the sky bridge.
Okay. Any clarifying or other questions from the commission about what we're talking about here?
And, I think there's pictures. I think there might have been some pictures submitted too that were from the across the street, the two garage doors that were across the street.
Okay. And again, yeah, just to clarify, this is Beaver Place, which is a private way, but the or backs up on Beaver Place, visible from. But visible from the Fiedler Footbridge, and I suppose perhaps a small stretch of the area just beneath it. But minimally visible and from a, only from a distance. One basic question. I have had occasion to walk by here since you put in this application. And am I correct that the granite header has already been installed?
It's in there currently, yes.
Yeah, and you know you're not supposed to do that, right?
Yes. It was unfortunate. I didn't have much. I have to do something temporarily. I was getting too much flack from the neighbors for, we had taken down all the brick and it was in disrepair. And we were getting concerns from the neighbors and some letters from the neighbors. So we needed to put something in there. So we ended up putting the granite back in there. It can come out very easily. Brick can go back in very easily. It's up to the commission, but I didn't want to keep it unsightly for too long. That was the reason why it was installed.
Okay. But I'm sorry. Go.
Okay.
Mr. Allen, go ahead.
So before you took the brick down, did you come to the commission?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So you understood you had to come to the commission before you installed anything in there, right?
We went to the commission to have the garage altered, and that's when we took the brick down.
No, I understand that part, but I'm trying to understand the part about putting the granite in. I understand if the neighbors are complaining, but if this is a matter of restoration and repair. I'm trying to figure out what's missing in this story.
There's nothing. The granite was put in rather than the brick, going under the assumption that the commission would be okay with it. We understand that if the commission's not okay with it, that the brick would go back in.
And yeah, area.
I would say when it comes down to this commission, it's not better to beg for forgiveness. I know it's a habit that people get into lately. But yeah, please come to us before you're doing like that.
I understand.
I'm trying to know, Nick, what does the city have to say? I really want to know what the city has to say.
Yeah. Thanks, Arian. So first, Jason should not have installed the granite header before it being approved. I will acknowledge that this rear of the property is not necessarily a very historic or detailed facade. So, you know, just know that. So there was really nothing damaged during the process. So the applicant did work closely with staff to come up with a reasonable solution and to add a little bit of depth to this facade. So staff recommends approval as submitted. In regards to the light fixture, the light fixture is essentially appropriate for the neighborhood. There is some concern about the environmental issues related to gas lanterns, but I'll defer to the commission on that.
Okay. So you knew everything about the granite being put up. You were made aware of that.
No, I was not. No, I just found out like you did today, just right now.
All right. What else has happened that we haven't heard of yet? Is there anything else going on, Jason, that we haven't heard of until, just now?
No, the only thing that's actually I would say in the jurisdiction of the Landmark Commission would be anything from, I'd say, a foot and a half below the top of the what you see in that picture. So where the header on the garage is, about a foot and a half below that. You can't see anything below that. There's a brick wall that's in front that blocks everything from the footbridge. So on the right side, there's a brick wall. That brick wall
So my concerns would be only for things that can be seen in the public.
No, ma'am.
So there hasn't been anything else added. No more surprises. Jason, we're trusting you.
There's nothing else. There's nothing else that we've touched. It's just the garage.
Okay, I'm finished with my questions.
Great, thank you, Commissioner Allen. Any other questions, comments from commissioners before we take public comment on this? Okay.
None for me.
Why don't we go to public comment then? Again, if you want to be heard on the record, please raise your hand in the Zoom. Nick will acknowledge you and unmute you if needed.
All right. So first up we have is Holland from the Civic Association. Holland, go ahead.
Thank you. Our comment, the stone header has been installed prior to approval and is higher than the proposed drawings indicate. Related work has also continued since the October hearing. See photographs of existing conditions on October 15th and November 5th at the end of this document. We recommend that the applicant provide updated shop drawings to reflect the actual height of the header for the record, 6 courses high versus 4 courses proposed. We support the new header as it is harmonious in size and material with nearby garage door openings on Beaver Place and is minimally visible from a public way, the Fiedler Footbridge. We support the proposed fixture style, however. It is unclear if an open flickering gas flame light is appropriate. Unless this type of lighting was a documented feature of this historic property, we recommend using an electric bulb with Kelvin lumen specification that is appropriate for Beacon Hill, 2700 to 3000 Kelvin. For this application, we reference the following historic guidelines. A3, proposals for new work shall be based on evidence of appropriate detail with regard to size, shape, material, and design. A7, per general, new openings and facades shall not be allowed and no changes shall be made to existing window and door openings unless they involve restoration of original features for which there is supporting documentation of the original feature. And E6, per doors and entries, exterior lighting shall be in traditional locations. The design of these fixtures shall be of an appropriate size and style. End of comment.
All right, Holland, thanks so much.
Thanks, Holland.
And it does not appear that we have any other public comments, so we can close it for this application. Thank you.
Okay. Jason, just two other quick clarifying questions, which sure. I think we asked already before in a prior hearing. But number one is I see it on your proposed drawing there on the left. It's still there. But is it your intention to remove that rather industrial looking set of spotlights and the conduit above them that Nick is indicating to the left of your proposed fixture?
I'm happy to remove it. I don't own it. It's part of the building. So yeah. I'd have to talk to the building. I'm just one of five unit owners and rather than putting two gas lights to the left and right of the garage door that can't be seen from the footbridge, I decided one would be, more appropriate, out of reach for anyone walking by.
Right. I'm just thinking of, as we're at, while you're at it cleaning up this rear facade, it might be to remove it, especially if it's not doing. Secondly, in terms of the plumbing of the gas fixture, is that invisible ostensibly? It's coming in from the back?
Correct.
Okay. So there's no conduit involved there.
Nope.
As well. Okay. So I think we've talked about this before, but again, just to reiterate, this is really marginally visible from the public way, and it's only the top portion of it. The treatment of the proposed header is generally consistent with what you would see in other such applications or not least of which right across the street. And as respect to the lantern, these exterior lights are likely not an original feature of nearly any of these older buildings, just as pendant lights above front entrances are and so forth. But obviously to a certain extent, they're necessary for safety and so forth. Personally, I'm fine with it, but any other comments, thoughts from other commissioners?
Jason, the existing conduit has already been, or the what was the original conduit on the center light is already gone, right? Because that needed to be removed to support the new header.
Yeah, in the old picture, I think it's on the proposal too. It looks like a little bell light.
Yeah,
that's gone.
Yeah, that was taken down.
Thanks.
Now, there was talk of a picture of what it currently looks like. Can we pull that up, Nick?
What the existing property looks like?
Yeah, what it looks like now. Didn't the Beacon Hill Civic Association say there was a picture?
Oh, they would have included it in the staff comment in their recommendations. I can bring it up.
Yes, please.
Okay. Let's see. Sorry, I wasn't prepared to bring that up.
I'm full of surprises.
But the first picture you had, Nick, I thought showed the granite header in place.
No, they just we have.
We just found out about today, like we did.
No, but there was a photo. There was a photo.
I think I saw it. I think I just saw one.
Right
here,
it is in the Civic Association comments. So is it correct, Nick? Jason, that I mean, I can see from the photo it is six courses high. But what's in your shop drawing that you submitted?
I think what might be confusing is the, if you look at the old drawing, there's a big wood header above the old garage door.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's what they were referring to, but that the new door or the new header is taking up some of that space. I'm not sure if that's what they're referring to.
Let me ask the direct question. Does your application specify the dimensions of the header?
It does. It talks about it being 14 inches tall. That's on the specs that we submitted.
Okay. And the piece of stone that's in there and sitting in there right now, is that 14 inches tall?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay, so that's, I think, the most important thing is that which I wouldn't presume to speak for the Civic Association, but I think the concern is, and it is certainly in your best interest to have the application reflect properly, not only what's approved, but what's installed.
It's 14 like it inches. Yeah, it's 14 inches, which is what we proposed, basically the exact same thing that they did across the street, which is the same width, same height, same length. Everything is identical. It overhangs. The brick the same. I'm not sure it could be any more identical to the one catty corner to that garage door.
Right. Okay. So perhaps it's just a matter of the brick is not exactly to scale in your drawing, and maybe it looks like it's not as many courses or something, but it sounds like what you've installed and what you're asking for is consistent with those dimensions.
100% okay. on the size that we submitted.
Is there any way we could have Nick just give it another look to make sure that before we say yes or no or anything, that we're all agreeing on something that the city is definitely behind? Because if Nick is getting new information, like we're getting it at the same time, to turn around and to make a motion.
There's a picture on the...
Yeah, the dimensions are there and the picture is there. So I'd be prepared to make a motion because I think this is perfectly fine.
All right, so here the only thing is that it seems like little surprises pop up here and there.
I'm not sure I agree with that.
Okay. Arian, I'm happy to verify that. If that's what you're asking, I'm more than happy to pop out there and verify it.
I'm wandering
around the neighborhood on a daily basis. I can certainly do that.
Yeah, you're a rock star.
Can we make a motion with a proviso rather than hold up the matter?
Go ahead, Ed, if you want to make one.
Well, I want to incorporate that, assuming that that's acceptable, but a motion to accept the application as submitted with the proviso that the staff will confirm the dimensions of the granite header that has been installed.
Second. Okay.
And what about the light fixture and what about the lantern as well? Are we...
It's as submitted. Was what I intended. You're welcome to amend that if you have misgivings about the
light. I just didn't hear it.
I said application as submitted, which presumably includes the header and the light.
Yeah, right. It's both.
All right.
Okay, the application has been moved and seconded. Any further discussion on the motion before we vote?
No.
Okay, we'll vote. Commissioner Allen.
Aye.
Mr. Fleck.
Aye.
Commissioner Given.
Aye.
Commissioner Kiefer votes aye. Commissioner Richmond.
Aye.
Okay, the motion carries and the application is approved. Thank you, Jason, for coming in. You've got a letter from Nick and he will come out and take a look at some point.
All right, perfect. I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Thank
you very much. Okay. Let's see, next we have 127 Mount Vernon Street. Anyone here from 127 Mount Vernon? And again, if you're having trouble unmuting, just message Nick in the chat. He will fix that for you.
Let me pull up their name.
Let's see, Mike Morton. Or anyone else from 127 Mount Vernon?
It's coming up as 145 Pinckney, though.
Oh, almost there, Alice.
Okay. Thank you.
I called this gent this afternoon. Mike, you're not here? I don't know.
Okay. Well, we'll try to come back to that. Perhaps if he shows up. And just FYI for the public, 17 Lewisburg Square, which was previously noticed, is still on the agenda, but it's been moved to administrative review because the application was revised such that it can now be reviewed administratively. So let's move on for the moment to 19 Brimmer Street. Is anyone here from 19 Brimmer?
Yes, I am Eddie O'Connell.
There he is.
Hi, Ed. Welcome. Hi. Want to tell us what you want to do?
Yeah, we're doing a mansard restoration, and we did a site visit with Nicholas a week or so ago, and the overhangs on the top of the dormers are very significant. And I don't know, Nick, do you have that the full picture of the facade?
I could bring it up.
Yeah, if you could bring that up just so we have context.
You got it. How's that?
Okay, so it's okay there. Now you can see the significant overhang on the dormers, and the dormer roofs are continuous with the flat roof that's behind the dormers. Nick and I were talking about reducing the overhang, and if we go back to the drawings, you'll see the existing condition and then a couple of proposed. Okay.
So we have this one, and then we have this one. Which one do you want to start with, Eddie?
Okay, let's start with the existing conditions. You can see it has basically two layers of overhang. And then to the right of that is a proposed where we incorporate a gutter. We have some water issues with water coming off the roofs of the dormer and creating icing conditions to the entry of the building. So we wanted to introduce a gutter. And we thought we could do that and mimic some of the detail, but not have the overhang that it kind of looks a little goofy. So we're reducing the overhang. And then the second drawing shows an alternative where we move that heavy molding up to right underneath the gutter. What was there before was very small and kind of got lost in the shadow of the gutter.
And Eddie, if I could just jump in right here, I also have a historic photo of the building, just so we can understand what it originally looked like. And thanks to Regina for sending this over to me. So you can see this is the structure right here. And it still has kind of that peculiar overhang. But yeah. So.
And Ed, could you just clarify for us? I'm sorry, I looked away for just a second. Your second proposed design, I see from the first one, if you go back one to the prior proposal, this would reduce the amount of the overhang. It's would also reduce the amount of overhang, right? By about, looks like 2.5 inches, 9 to to 6.5?
Correct. Yep.
Okay. Now, you're showing in the left-hand drawing, the existing, there's that molding profile at the very top, but I don't see that. Maybe it's just hard to see, but it looks like, at least in the Google Maps photo, which I don't know how old it is, but that it's really just squared off at the bottom. There's copper flashing around it, and it just looks rectangular. Is that actually still there, that cove profile?
The flashing that looks square, that was hiding all this detail.
Ah, I see. Okay.
So all of this was there, but it was covered by subsequent, you know, roofers as they put on new roofs over the years.
Okay. Okay, so we can agree then that whatever the shape of this thing, whatever we want to call it now, it just reflects some kind of hodgepodge of additional material that's been added on there and is hardly likely to be some kind of original profile, right?
Correct.
Or even an old one that's been on there a long time when maybe the building was modified a bit. It's just some kind of mess that happened from roof repairs and so forth. Okay, please continue. Yep. So, thank you, that's helpful. So the difference between the first proposal and the second one, can you just again highlight that for a second?
In the first proposed, you'll see under the gutter there's that original detail that we put underneath the gutter, but it basically disappears into the shadow. So we thought that by moving the more substantial molding that's in the middle and moving that up to be directly underneath the gutter, we thought that was a better use of that molding.
Right. Okay. And that's can you click down to the second one so we can see the difference? Right. Okay.
And here it shows that molding being brought up directly underneath the gutter.
And okay, basic question here. Forgive me. I know it says copper gutter right there, but the gutters would be unpainted or not?
Unpainted.
Yeah. Okay. And the height of that compared to what's there now, the height of, let's say, from the bottom of the molding to the top of the gutter, just compared to what's there, let's say?
It's similar. Let me scale it off my drawing. It is, the gutter's 3.5 inches and the existing molding, the Scotia type molding, is 4 inches.
Okay. Oh, looks like the molding's smaller in your diagram, but okay. And is there any other way to accomplish your objective, which we could see from those earlier photos? Clearly you've got some water issues there that have caused quite a bit of damage, but is there any other way to, have you looked into any other way to accomplish that objective of preventing further water infiltration without a gutter?
Very difficult because the water coming off these dormers doesn't land into the gutter on the floor beneath us. It overshoots that.
Ah, right, okay.
So the icing condition is not at the roof line, it's down below.
Correct.
Got it.
On the walkway.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay. Oh, actually, that's a handy photo. So the gutter would be where in this picture?
We would remove that Scotia molding.
Right.
And also the fascia there. And we bring that back. If you compare the two drawings, you'll see where we've removed the Scotia and the fascia and the underside, the soffit.
Okay, and
which reduces that projection.
Yeah. Okay. So the overall effect, I mean, just to be clear, before you, it looks like you had to take this apart already, but before you did that, there was copper flashing all the way around in that, I think we can agree, kind of awkward rectangular fashion. So there's going to be copper. There's already copper up there. The overall effect of what you're proposing would then just be to reduce both the depth and it sounds like a little bit the height of that copper treatment and make it a little more elegant because you've got a curved profile in the gutter. You probably get another shadow line and it'll look a little lighter.
Yep.
And there'll just be less of it. Okay. And where's the downspout for the gutter?
It's on the left side of the mansard, the far left, right on the property line.
Okay. There's just one all the way just over. Okay. Now I think I saw in the Google Maps drawing, there was a section of gutter on one side of one of these dormers already. Yes.
There was a section on the left dormer.
Okay. And Nick, do you know the date of that photograph?
Yeah, it's from September of 2022. So very recently.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Your historic photograph. Forgive me.
Oh. I don't know. Let's actually look it again. See if we can see the name of the automobiles.
Right.
I would say probably early 1920s.
Look right there.
Yeah.
Okay. So we don't know when that detail that's sort of visible in this photo. Actually, this is helpful because so ultimately, Ed, you can see there's one major shadow line that reads from the street there below. Yeah, right there. And by putting the molding together with the bottom of the gutter, do you think you'll accomplish something vaguely like that?
Yeah, I think we'll get a nice shadow line there.
Yeah. Okay, so I think we've agreed what's there now is not historic. It sounds like whatever was there that might be reflected in this photo is gone or maybe even long gone. What's there now doesn't sound like it's desirable in addition to not being historic. So this does sound like an improvement. Any other questions, clarifying questions from the commissioners before we take public comment or anything else, Ed, that you wanted to bring to our attention about this?
Nope.
Okay. Commissioner Fleck, go ahead.
Just one quick question, Ed, for clarification. The proposed gutter would be all of those drip edges. So both the parallel to the street, but also all the nooks and crannies, right?
It's going to go completely around the perimeter of the roof line.
Yeah. And you're going to miter the corners and so forth, obviously.
Yeah. And it's going to turn all the way back to the main roof, go along the main roof edge, and then you'll bump back out.
Right. Okay. So you'll get a nice crisp when you turn the corner. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions?
Alice,
is that a question? All right, Commissioner Allen, go ahead, please.
Well, are you going to use copper that's like brand new, shiny, or are you going to use something that's a little weathered, a little aged?
Well, it's going to be new, and it will weather with time.
In the area, the way copper weathers is, it starts off shiny, but then it turns to this dull color for a couple years, and then it turns green. So it's not shiny, then green. It goes shiny, then dull, then green. It takes...
This is true. That's why I was asking if you would be able to use an aged copper. That's why
I think you can see the dull version in the that other Google Maps photo. If there's no other questions from the commissioners on the details of the application, why don't we go to public comment? Again, if you want to be heard on the record, please raise your hand in the Zoom according to the handy instructions that Nick will bring up on the screen. There we are again.
All right. First up we have is Holland with the Civic Association. Holland, go ahead.
Thank you. We oppose this application as adequate information has not been supplied to determine suitability. We request applicant provide additional drawings to clarify proposed areas of modification and scope of work. This application, we reference the following historic guidelines. A3, replacement of missing architectural features shall be based on evidence of original features substantiated by physical or pictorial information. Proposals for new work shall be based on evidence of appropriate detail with regard to size, shape, material, and design. C1, per roofs. Original or historic roof lines, dormer windows, chimneys, parapets, end walls, and firewalls shall be retained. If, under special circumstances, alterations are permitted, they shall be contingent upon A, submission to the Commission of adequate architectural and photographic documentation sufficient to permit the alteration to be reversed, B, preserving the existing roof slope at each side of the alteration, C, retaining sufficient existing structure so that the original profile remains, C2, per roofs, materials used for roofing repairs, including flashing, gutters, and downspouts, shall duplicate the original materials or match appropriate existing materials. End of comment.
Thanks, Holland. And I do not see any other public comments for this application, so we can close that portion. All right, Mark, back to you.
Okay, thanks. Any other discussion from the commission on this? One other question for you, Ed, and forgive me if I as much as asked this already, but when you took it apart, what exactly was under that stuff that's been added, the flashing and then whatever else?
It was just multiple layers. And then these are, you know, the original Scotia molding and that larger one.
Okay, so I guess the question is, do we have any, do we think what you found was, for example, what's shown in that photo, albeit it's from, you know, it's a sepia tone old photo from a pretty great distance, but in other words, I appreciate there's been stuff that's added, been added to this, but do we think you uncovered what was originally or at least for a long time there before?
It's definitely been there a long time. I think I would defer to Nicholas on this.
Yeah, so when I looked at it, and actually Ed brought up a good point, is that there's a lot of those interesting nails on a lot of the work. And then the wood does look old, but I don't, how old, I couldn't say. And then is this insulation, is that horse hair?
No, that's a either squirrels or birds.
Oh, whoops. Okay, wow. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah, so it does look old, but it's difficult to date exactly what it is, but
right. Okay. Yeah, so I mean I guess the you know the one maybe the concern here is if one could. Well, you've got your, just, I think we should step back for a second and say you've got a not insignificant, it sounds like, water issue here. And one of the first principles of preservation, of course, is we want this, what remains of the historic fabric to stay around as long as possible. And we don't advance that goal if we don't address issues like water infiltration and do it in a way that's of sufficient quality to prevent those issues from recurring for some time. Balanced against that is the question of, you know, are we inadvertently taking away historic fabric or putting something there that pretends to be old when it isn't, or otherwise appears to represent some kind of historic feature that was never extant on the building. So I guess I come back to this question of, and this is actually a good view to look at, how close are we going to get to the profile that we think, to the best of our understanding, from having taken this apart, from looking at least one old photo that's probably 100 years old, how close are we going to get as a practical matter when we see this from the street, albeit it's five stories up or whatever it is, so it's a bit of a distance, but how close are we going to get to the effective apparent profile of what we think was there before all this extra junk was added?
I think on the second proposal that's going to give us some nice shadow lines that are going to accent along what was originally there.
Okay, so it will in effect look similar, if not the same, as what was there again previously. I don't know about originally. And Nick, do you have a thought on as to which of the two would better accomplish that? Do you see what I'm saying, Nick? When you just look up there, do you see kind of what you see in that photo?
Yeah, yeah. So I honestly don't know how this is going to work, but I trust Eddie's judgment. I would say I mean, is it?
How much of what we're seeing in that shop drawing is new? Is it just the fascia and the gutter, or is it all of that sheathing?
The sheathing would be new.
You know what I'm saying, Nick? If you scroll maybe a little bit, because it's all sort of represented in the same fashion, so it's hard. No, I meant on the shop drawing, those elevations.
So all the sheathing is new.
Well, and the molding components, or are those being salvaged? Yeah,
we're having the molding components are going to be custom matched.
So for all intents and purposes, every component in these visuals, both option one and option two, is new. There's no
but they will be to match
here anywhere.
But they'll match the original.
Understood.
Hey, one other question, Ed. I realize it's a gutter and it's got to function as a gutter in the first instance. And if it doesn't, you know, it's defeating the purpose of the whole impetus for this project. But I'm just wondering, you know, to the extent that the Scotia molding, again, that was buried under all that stuff, apparently, you know, has a kind of cove that goes the other way. What about, would it be possible to fabricate a functional gutter that still does the job, but that gets closer to the profile that was there, to that?
I have not seen a profile in a gutter like that before.
I mean, just looking at it, it would obviously take some of the volume away, which is a bit antithetical to the purpose. But do you see what I'm getting at? You know, because if you could replicate ostensibly what we think might have been there with the gutter, I think that might be the best of both worlds.
Yeah, again, I haven't seen a gutter profile that has, you know, has it indented, if you will, like the Scotia.
Right.
Is it possible? Or is something that could be customized, or is that completely impossible?
I just have never seen a gutter with that kind of profile.
Is it doable? Is it, so I know you haven't seen it.
Yeah.
The question is it possible to customize? Is it
possible? I would have to follow up with my copper man.
Nick, what are you, any thoughts on that?
I mean, that would work, right? And it would follow the it would follow the exact historic profile. I guess I'm thinking about visiting when I visited the site and examining the trim here, and then evaluating how a gutter could kind of be integrated into that design. So the more I look at this, this is the existing, and we're proposing to remove this element here, correct?
Correct.
And I've seen it in a couple places, but I'm just gonna throw it out there just to get your thoughts on it. But there's no way to do any sort of like integrated gutter into the dormers, correct?
Correct.
Meaning you would, okay, all right.
Could you just put the gutter in at the outer edge of the left-hand picture, remove the crown molding component, but retain the overhang.
Yeah, we can do that.
And just put the gutter out there. That way, it seems like you're retaining the most of the historical profile and then just replacing what I'm referring to as sort of the crown molding type sloped component, angled component with the gutter.
This here?
Sure.
This here, Ed?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'd swap out that Scotia molding, the crown molding, and put the gutter there instead. The only reason why I drew it on the right as proposed is because we were talking about trying to reduce the overhang.
Right.
Understood.
But we could swap out what Nicholas has, the cursor on, we could swap out that scotia and put the gutter there.
Because what I was hearing was, you know, by eliminating that overhang, that seems to be almost a bridge too far in terms of the removing what was the original profile, the original components. So the minimalist would say, maintain that overhang that's there and just solve your water problem by getting a gutter on the outer edge.
Okay.
It's one you know, idea.
And just for clarification, Ed, this here is missing here now.
Yeah, it was all falling apart.
Yep. No, that's okay. So this here is gone, and it should be right here.
No, up higher. It should be
in that. Yeah, there in that blank space there. Yeah. So okay. Then to Ed, to Commissioner Fleck's point, Ed. The fact that this thing is 9 inches proud of the plane of the window or the fascia board above the window in your drawing, is that with all that junk that's been added on front with the copper flashing around?
Yeah. Nope. That's to the wood, to the.
Okay. So what Commissioner Fleck is suggesting then would have the gutter be how far?
Well, the gutter's 5 inches and, double check this. Yeah, the gutter is 5, and that scotia projects 3 inches out. I would check with my copper man and see if he can get a smaller gutter.
Well, okay, so yeah, it sounds like we've got a couple of alternatives. That, I mean, Ed, for what it's worth, I guess I'm more inclined to try to get closer to what might have been there, because I think, at least as it reads now, or in the recent photos, in the Google Maps photo, that is very likely not the original configuration. And I think, well, you certainly see these dormers with overhangs in other buildings of this period that are significantly proud of the plane of the window. I don't know that I've ever seen one this far out. And I think it would probably be closer to what was there in Nick's photo, historic photo, if it doesn't stick out so much. Unfortunately, we can't quite see what that profile is. Let's see. It sounds like there are a couple things you can investigate with the copper fabricator, right? One is, could you make a profile that's the reverse, that's closer to the scotia molding that's there or was there? And the other is, could you make a smaller one so that you could ostensibly keep the same arrangement of the pieces, which I think is what Commissioner Fleck is suggesting, but in the process still reduce the overall amount of projection from the plane of the window? Is that a fair statement, Ed?
Yeah.
Other Ed? Ed Fleck?
Yeah, that's, basically replace that one wooden component that was 3 inches with the 5-inch gutter and, you know, be somewhat closer to what we've got for a profile today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
If it's practical and feasible.
Right. Okay. So I guess the question for the commission is, it sounds like we've got a direction here at least, but how comfortable are we? Are we moving this forward? It sounds like we've got a couple of other options, but would require sort of looking into. Is anyone comfortable with approving either of the options that Ed has brought to us today? Or would you rather see him look into some of these other alternatives?
This is Alice Richmond. I'm comfortable with his making the inquiry and leaving it to staff. You know, if it's possible to do it, I think he understands what we're asking. And I don't think it's necessary to come back to the commission.
Okay.
So I'm curious, Nick, what are your thoughts on this? Because I think that's really important.
Yeah, this one I've been really struggling with. since Ed brought my attention to this. So I think we should try to maintain the historic profile as much as possible. But at the same time, you know, it's very well a design flaw where the water infiltration is kind of getting into wherever it's getting into, that there could be some slight modifications in order to protect the integrity of the structure. So I would be fine working with Ed to get this taken care of. I also want to be, you know, make sure that, you know, we're getting into the freeze thaw season. So we'll want to make sure that when that water does come down, that it's not invading like it used to. So happy to do whatever the commission feels is necessary. Yeah.
So Nick, can I just see if I can clarify what you said, which is that you would be comfortable working with him to see if it's possible to have
yes.
profile more of it. And that one reason to do it is because if we wait until the next meeting, you know, we are then well into the potential of cold weather and freezing water.
You said it way better than I could, Alice. Yes. No,
but anyway, that's the nature of my motion. Thank you.
I second your motion.
Oh, hold on. Sorry. Was for clarity, was that a motion, Commissioner Richmond?
Oh, that was a motion.
I'm going to need you to restate the motion because I'm not sure we actually got it.
Okay. The motion is to ask the applicant to see if it is possible to fabricate a copper gutter, which is more in keeping with the actual profile of the mansard that we're looking at. And if it is possible to do that, to use a different profile than the one he's proposed to us today, but that he work with staff to see if it's possible to do so.
Okay, but a motion needs to either be to approve, to deny, or to not deny without prejudice. So can you clarify that for us, please?
Sure, it's to approve. Go ahead and rephrase it. It's with the proviso that
Okay, and could I just offer one friendly amendment to the proviso, which is that, maybe it's two, that just to be clear, that number one, as Commissioner Richmond stated, that the applicant would determine with the copper fabricator whether it's possible to replicate or make an alternative profile of the gutter that resembles the Scotia molding in place now, and or reduce the size of the gutter to reduce the overhang, the effective overhang at the top of the dormer. And that the final design, a decision on the final design would be delegated to staff.
Well, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I think that's what she pretty much said, and I already seconded it.
Okay, and just for clarity, Commissioner Allen, are you reseconding the amended motion?
I am with your addendum.
Okay, thank you.
Makes sense, so I'm in it.
Okay, any other discussion from the commission? Okay, then we will vote on the motion as amended. Commissioner Allen.
Aye.
Mr. Fleck.
Aye.
Commissioner Given.
Aye.
Mr. Kiefer votes aye. Commissioner Richmond.
Aye.
Great. Thank you, Ed, for coming in. And you'll get a letter from Nick, and he'll follow up with you. And hopefully you will get some further good news from the copper fabricator. We look forward to seeing what you find out.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Commissioner.
Thanks, Ed. This is a tough one. So
thank you.
I know it stumped me.
Right.
Cheers.
Thanks. Okay. Let's see. 127 Mount Vernon. Are you here? Mike Morton or anyone else from 127 Mount Vernon? Going once. It's not. If you're having a hard time unmuting, just message Nick in the chat and he will fix that for you. I don't see.
Yeah, I can account for everybody here, and I don't think they're associated with this project. So,
okay. I guess we got to do administrative review so we could get one more chance after that.
Sure.
Okay. Right, that's it for the design review hearing other than 127 Mount Vernon, right, Nick?
Correct, yes.
Because 103 Charles is also no longer on the agenda for this month. Okay, so administrative review and approval. Any questions or comments on the administrative review approvals?
Mr. Chairman, I just need to recuse myself from 0351. But happy to participate and support in the other consideration of other items as necessary.
Okay. Let the record reflect let the record reflect that Commissioner Fleck has recused himself from the vote on administrative review of application 23.0351 8 Park Street. If there are no questions or comments, I move approval en masse of the administrative review items.
Second.
Okay, we will vote. Commissioner Allen? Aye. Commissioner Fleck?
Aye.
And again, let the record reflect that's a vote of aye on the items other than 8 Park Street, for which Commissioner Fleck is recused. Commissioner Given?
Aye.
Mr. Kiefer votes aye. Commissioner Richmond?
Aye.
Oh, okay. Mark, did we not take public comment?
Oh, sorry. Anyone want to be heard on, we already voted, but sorry about that. I was trying to catch up where we were. Anyone want to be heard on the administrative approvals?
Yes, we're good.
Okay, sorry about that. Okay, one more time on 127 Mount Vernon. Is anyone here for 127 Mount Vernon? Last chance. Okay. All right, I think we're moving on.
Yeah, I'm starting to take it personally, getting ghosted like this.
Right.
You're getting ghosted. Poor Mark is becoming an auctioneer.
Yeah. Okay. Ratification of the October hearing minutes. Nick, I had one a comment on that. There were a couple applications for which the applicant did not appear. And in the minutes, it says denied for failure to appear. That should be denied without prejudice. So could we simply revise that to say denied without prejudice?
Thank you. Yes.
And let me be precise here.
There's two, right? Yeah.
Yes, on 23.0168, which is 94 Beacon Street, number one. And 23.0227, 20 Mount Vernon Street. Just revise the minutes to say motion to deny the application without prejudice due to failure to appear.
Thank you. I will make that edit.
Okay. Any other questions, comments on the October minutes? If not, do we hear a motion? Do I have a motion for the approval of the minutes with the my aforementioned revision?
Approved.
Do I have a second?
Seconded.
Okay, we'll vote. Commissioner Allen?
Aye.
Commissioner Fleck?
Aye.
Commissioner Given?
Aye.
Commissioner Kiefer votes aye. Commissioner Richmond?
Aye.
Okay, the October minutes are approved with the revision
provisos. Yep.
Let's see where and what else.
Staff updates.
Nick, go ahead, please.
Cool. So three things. So first, tomorrow from 11 to 2 is the City Hall Plaza grand opening ceremony. So if you're in town, stop by. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then there'll be another event at night from, I believe, 5 to 8, which will be a celebration of the playground that'll be opening on City Hall Plaza. And they'll be doing face painting and what have you. So So Ed, get ready to get face painted.
Right.
So he didn't like that joke anyway. And then so we did finally get a time for the subcommittee for the intercom system, which is systems, which is December 12th at 5:30 p.m. So that will consist of Mark Kiefer, Annette Given, and Arian Allen. And then the public is welcome to attend and give their feedback. And what we'll be doing is we'll be discussing intercom systems and which intercom systems for different types of buildings and locations could be reviewed administratively. So they all still have to be reviewed by the commission, but rather than have all these folks come through under design review, if they decide to select the pre-approved versions for each of those specific scenarios, it'll just kind of expedite the process a little bit, very similar to how we regulate tree guards. We have pre-approved models, and if as long as they select one of those, it just goes right to administrative review. So so that's that. And yeah, I think that's actually it for right now.
Okay.
Nick, are we going to get an email on that December 12th?
Yes. Actually, I just sent it before this hearing started. So you should have received that.
Okay. Great.
I can send it again if you didn't get it.
Yep. Yeah, please. Would you mind?
Okay.
Would you mind also just sending around, Nick, the information about City Hall Plaza openings tomorrow?
Sure.
I did write it down, but just in case anyone didn't get a chance and they've got it.
Sure. Will do.
Thank you. Okay. Cool. I think we've reached the end of the agenda and we're 45 minutes early. That's remarkable. That's great.
Awesome.
Everybody have a good Thanksgiving.
Yes. Yeah, so if there's no further business, do I hear a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Give it a second.
Second.
Okay.
Okay, we'll vote. Commissioner Allen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fleck.
Aye.
Commissioner Given.
Aye.
Commissioner Kiefer votes aye. Commissioner Richmond.
Aye.
Thank you all very much. And
good night, everyone.
I have a great Thanksgiving.
Can you believe it's next week?
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks.
Thanks. Bye. Good to see you tomorrow.
Bye, guys. Be safe.